Today's daf in Masechet Chagiga is daf Yud Chet, and we are holding, we got all the way down to, we're talking about how do we know all of these halachas that are applicable to Chag HaShavuot, and that we compare them in the end, all of the Chagim together. We had many different things. We had the Hekesh, and we had all kinds of other limudim, including Reish Lakish's idea that Chag HaKatzir would mean that there has to be days in which Katzir is mutter, which we were doicha at the end. But what was interesting is that all of those additional rayas were brought from the fact that we would call it either the Chag in which you're able to be kotzer during the Chag, or that you're able to do malacha during the Chag. And we said, well, when could that be? It can't be the Yontev, could it, on the other Chagim? And it can't be during Chol HaMoed, because Chol HaMoed certainly is not mutter. And that, like, that was taken for granted. So the question the Gemara wants to know today is, like, where did that come from? That Chol HaMoed for sure is usur. Everybody seemed to agree to that, but where did they know it from? So this is today's beginning. And that begins with Michlal. Oops, I just lost my screen, but hold on. But Michlal, says the Gemara, that everybody is Maida, that in fact, Malacha would be Asur Chol HaShomayim, and therefore we could actually use those psukim that call the holiday a holiday of Asiyas Malachas, can only be referring to Shavuos, which is really only one day. And therefore it's telling us that that too has a halacha of the other Karbonis. By the way, it's a fascinating thing that if you take a look at the way that the Balaturim, the Meshech Chochma speak about, if you take a look at the way that the Torah refers to the various Chagim, so we have the Mishpatim as part of the Bris, we have the Chagim mentioned, and in Kitisa, we have the Chagim mentioned, and in Pinchas, of course, where it comes to be talking about the Karbonis of the Chag, we have the Chagim, all three Chagim mentioned. So in Mishpatim and in Kitisa, it refers actually to all of the Chagim with the word Chag, the Chag HaShavuot. Masha Einkein, in Pinchas, it never says the word Chag, because over there, it's referring to Karbonis. And so we have a completely different halacha about Karbonis. If we want to say Chag, it doesn't have that same din of Tochoguli for 7 days in terms of the Yontev. But so the din of Shavuos is specifically a din that has a concept of Kedusha in terms of Tashlumim, but it doesn't have the same halachas that we find everywhere else. So therefore, it's possible, for a very simple reason, that it won't be a Chag. How is that? It comes out on a day that you can't bring a carbon. So on all of the other Chagim, they're always going to be a Chag, right? On that day itself. But what happens on Shavuos, where the Yom Tvoach is a different day, where Yom Tvoach is Achar HaShabbos, so I cannot call it, therefore, a Chag in the sense of the Karbonis that you're going to be bringing, because you won't be bringing your Chagiga during that day that you're Chayav on the Musafim. Therefore, the Torah leaves out the word Chag. Isn't that brilliant? So under Gufa, you have the remes to Shavuos being one day, but it's not necessarily the day that you're going to be bringing your Chagiga, but your Musaf will always be that one day. Okay, so in Pinchas, we have a completely different concept. All right, anyway, how do we know that the din is Michlal, the Tavir Sfirlu, the Cholo Shalmoid is Osir Basiyas Malach? Why is that so poshut to everybody? Minani Mile. Well, the Tana Rabban. Et Chag HaMatzot Tishmor Shivat Yamim. Now it says over here that you keep Chag HaMatzot Bishmira for 7 days. Now Shmira always means to be Shemer from Malacha. So you see that it must be the Cholo Shomayit is Osir Basiyas Malacha, the Rabbi Yoshia. Once we know that that's true about Chag HaMatzot, so we have our long-standing Hekesh of the three Chagim together. Chag HaMatzot, we started off with that in terms of the other halacha of Tashlumi. So therefore, it must be the Cholo Shomayit is always us. So this is Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, why do you need a pasuk? Isn't it obvious? I mean, basically, it's a Kav HaChomer. If the first day it says Beferish, Lo Ta'aseh Malacha, and the last day it says Beferish, Lo Ta'aseh Malacha, And those days do not have a surrounding Kedusha in them. First day begins the Kedusha, the last day ends the Kedusha. Nonetheless, you can't do Malacha. So Kol Shekein during Chol HaMoed, which has a beginning of Kedusha and an end of Kedusha, so for sure, it should be Asur Ba'asiyas Malacha. Okay, and how about working during the week, which has a Shabbos at the beginning and a Shabbos at the end, and we still somehow or other manage to allow you to do work, and we don't say that the entire time is always Asur Ba'asiyas Malacha. I mean, so there you go. That proves that this argument is not much of an argument, right? So how about this idea of Sheshesim Ebereshis Yochichur? Our week, Yesh Kedusha Lefnei Melachareim, and nonetheless, Mutarim Ba'asiyat Melacha. Yeah, but that's different. There's no Karban Musaf during the Sheshesim Ebereshis, so why would it be Asur Ba'asiyas Melacha? But if we're treating it like a Yontif for the Musaf, so then we should treat it for the Yontif as Isur Melacha too, no? Well, how about Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh has a Musaf, and it, obviously it's not the Musaf that creates Isur Melacha. There's no Isur Melacha on Rosh Chodesh. So how do you explain that? So Rosh Chodesh Yochiach, Yesh Bo Korban Musaf, Mutar Ba'asiyas Melacha. Yes, but Rosh Chodesh is not called Mikra Kodesh. Chol HaShemoed is Beferish. It's called Mikra Kodesh. So Hol V'Korin Mikra Kodesh, Dinu Shazar Ba'asiyas Melacha. So therefore, there should be an Isur Melacha. The other Braita says, when it says in the Pasuk, Kol Melechet Avodah Lo Tasu, and that's followed directly, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't bring it, but it's followed directly by the Pasuk, Shivas Yomi. Shivas Yomi Takrivu, it's talking about over there, but it's Shivas Yomi. So we connected Melacha, Kol Melechet Avodah Lo Tasu, Shivas Yomi. So that means that there would be an Isur of Shivas Yomim of Malacha. Rabbi Akiva Omer, unnecessary. There's no need for that. It's clear. Harehu Omer, Ele Moadei Hashem Mikroi Kodesh Ashitikru'u Otam B'Moadam. Okay, now, this idea of Moadei Hashem, which is coming to tell me that there's times that are Otzer B'Malacha. What is it adding, the Eilam Moadei Hashem? I mean, can't be coming to say they're considered to be a Mikra Kodesh. I mean, the Kedusha is always has to be in some way dedicated to it and not to the Asiyas Melacha. So what is that coming to tell me, this additional idea of Mikra Kodesh? I mean, if it's the first day of the Yomim Tovim, it says so. Lo Tasu Melacha. Is it the last day, Shvi? It says Beferi Shabbaton. So then it's got to be adding something. It's adding Chol HaMoed, that there's an idea of Mikra Kodesh. This teaches me, L'lamedcha, Shasur Ba'asiyat Melacha. Tanya Idach, Sheishet Yamim Tuchal Matzot, U'bayom HaShivi'i Atzeret La'Hashem Elokecha. Ma Shivi'i Atzur, Av Sheishet Yamim Atzuri. Basically, the Torah is making a hekesh between the 6 days of eating matzah before the seventh day and the seventh day. What is the point of that hekesh? To teach me that just like the seventh day is called, says Beferish Lo Tasur Melacha, so it's an Isur Melacha. So then if that's the case, all of the other days are also Osur Ba'asiyas Melacha. Ayotain, if that's the case, so then it should be Osur like Yontif. If you're making a hekesh to Atzeret, then the entire Yontif should be Osur Ba'asiyas Melacha, the same way the Yom HaShvi'i Atzeret Bechol Melacha. So, imashvi atzur b'chol melacha, avsheshet yamim atzurim b'chol melacha. Talmud lomar, uvayom ashvi'i atzeret, only ashvi'i is atzur b'chol melacha. Ve'en shisha yamim atzurim b'chol melacha. This was the lima that we refer to back in Mayit Katan, when all of the inyanim, both Rashi and Tosis, brought this specific lima from Chagiga as the makor for the Isur Melacha during Chol HaMoed. Holomotzran hakatuv ela lechachamim lomar lecha ezo yom asur veezo yom mutar ezo melacha asura veezo melacha mutar. So basically, what the Gemara is presenting is: look, we all take an unusual thing for granted, which is that the chachamim are the ones who determine the actual day of the yontif. They can tell you despite any of your arguments and any of your astronomical arguments, they can tell you today is Pesach. And you can prove to them 1,000 times over with all kinds of proofs that today is certainly not Pesach based on the analysis of when Rosh Chodesh was, and based on the question of what month it is. Is it Adar Sheni or is it Nisan? It's up to them. They're the ones that are koveya, and they take into consideration all kinds of crazy things in determining whether they should accept the Eidim or not. Don't remember, we had the entire sugya, massive sugya, throughout Masechet Rosh Hashanah. That we take for granted. How could the rabbis tell us something that the Torah was koveya? The Torah was koveya al pi the shita of HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem, even Mutayin, even Mezidim. And so if that's the case, don't think it's so weird that we should be given in the context of that idea of Moed, which is fundamentally a human idea. Mikroi Kodesh. It's up to you to be Kore. So therefore, you can also be Kore. What defines it as Kodesh to you? And that means that when the Chachomim define which malacha is mutter on Chol HaMoed or which malacha is asur on Chol HaMoed, it makes a heck of a lot of sense, because this is the sugya. That seems to be the reason why it puts it together that way at the end, because we weren't talking about the days, but that's the idea. Since Mikroi Kodesh is a concept that is based on Lachem all the way, even including the malachas that are mutter or asur, it's all about Lachem, Yaseh Lachem. So that idea of the Lachem even is in terms of the definition of the Moadim, in terms of the Malachas that are Aser, when it comes to the interrelationship between Chol and Kodesh. And therefore, we obviously have these different Madregas, right? So we have a Mikroi Kodesh on the entire period, and then we have an Atzurim B'chol Malach on the first day and the last day. And those days are called Shabbaton, because they have elements of Shabbos Kodesh in them, which is the basis of the Isser of the Malacha, which is why we're Koveya the other days, even though you'd think it's not a nice way to refer to a Moed, isn't a contradiction, say Chol HaMoed, but it is. It's the Chol of the Moed, which is not Shabbos. The other days are Shabbaton. These are Chol. Exactly. So then what makes it the Mikroi Kodesh? The same thing that made Mikroi Kodesh define what day it was. The fact that the Chachamim said that these were the Malachas. Now, according to this approach, it would be perfectly natural to say that what the Braita is telling us, and this is the Shita of some of the Rishonim, which is backed by many of the cases in the Gemara, that Chol HaMoed is D'oraisa, the way Rashi understands it. And the fact that the Chachamim can tell you which Malacha, that doesn't mean it's a drabbanan any more than the fact that it could tell you that today is Pesach and not tomorrow means that that day of Pesach is a drabbanan. Obviously, it's a D'oraisa. That's the whole point that the Braisa seems to be making at the end. Nonetheless, the Shita of the Tosfos, again, based on as many sugyas that seem to be steers, we had the whole discussion back in Moed Katan, which is, of course, the other meaning of Chol HaMoed, Moed Katan. Because this is the idea. It's Eila Moadei Hashem Mikroi Kodesh. So it's also a Moed. And yet it's not the same as the Shabbaton Moed. So it's a Katan Moed. Fine. So we have all of these complex interrelationships, which is why we had so many of the sugyas of the nature of the Rabbonans and so on in these Masechtas. Because this is the area in which we talk about those kind of things. So the concept of Purim and the concept of the Takanas Drabbanan, which we're going to be getting to in terms of Tumah V'Torah and the idea of what constitutes a Malacha, all of these interrelationships with Teresh Balpeh and the question of Esmachtas and the realities of Esmachtas and how we view the Psukim, these are all complex machloikasin, but they are very, very much focused on these Masechas that begin with the series of Moed Katan. Anyway,
could Rebbe remind us what the Tosfos Shita is? We didn't get to it. As opposed to Tosfos, who says
that it's a derabbanan, that it's essentially a derabbanan, and that these are esmachtas. So that runs into other problems, because the way that we define what the pasuk means doesn't make sense that it should be on the basis of an esmachta. If you're telling me we just had a drasha, what would it mean? The chag shata kotzerba, it can't mean the normal Chagim, Pesach, and Sukkot, what would it mean? Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to be kotzer. What do you mean you're not allowed to be kotzer? Because the Chachamim made up, you're not allowed to be kotzer, so therefore the Pesach has to mean that. That's very strange. If it doesn't mean it, is it the Raisa? I mean, even the sugya we just had. How are we going to make the drosha that it can't mean Chol HaMoed, and therefore it has to mean Shavuos? How are we going to make that based on an Asmachta? You see? So you have the problem right here. That's how it raises the issue of Asmachtas, because of the Ritva. So the Ritva says, even though an Asmachta is not definitive in terms of the Halacha, but it is meant as an indication that that is open to a Takana B'Divrei Seferim. And the Torah is hinting at that, that if this is necessary, this is a valid mishmeret that you should take into consideration. And therefore, it's unlikely that if the Torah is giving us here the remez, that there would be a concept of an Isra Aveda Melachot Chol HaMoed, that it would make that the definition of the Chag, that it's the time that you work. That doesn't make sense. You can't do both. Out of one side of your mouth, say that, you may not want to do Melachot Chol HaMoed, and the other side of your mouth say, but we'll call it the Yontav of Asiyas Ketzira, you see? So that's why it involves the deeper understanding of what is meant by an Asmachta. Because the alternative is to say that it really is a full D'oraisa. Anyway, but as you can see, with the lovely presentation of the Braisa, as we just described it, the Braisa is giving you strong basis for seeing that there are ways that the Rabbanan defines the D'oraisa completely. This Bechlal is a sugya, in what extent the Rabbanan define the D'oraisa. Say, Isurei Hana'ah, the Rabbanan. Will they define the D'oraisa about whether that thing is considered to be money or not? It could be Nogea, all kinds of dinim. Stephen, you're falling asleep. Back to us. Hello. Okay. I don't know what time it is by you, but you look awfully tired. Okay, so we continue on with this beautiful Lilimut. So now we see that there is a concept of Chol HaMoed. Continues the Mishnah. And because of this, that it came out that the Yom Tavoach was Achra HaMoed, Achra Shabbos, that made the Baitusim very happy, because it looks like we're giving in to their Shita, that actually it needed to be Bedavka, Mimochorat HaShabbat, and the Mimochorat HaShabbat HaShvi'it meant that Shvuos really is on Yom Rishon. So because of that, we said you're allowed to do Hesped V'tainis, and we said that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't be wearing his Begadim. All of that was Shelo L'Kayem et Divrei HaOmrim Atzeret Achar HaShabbat. Asks the Gemara V'Tanya, should say, what about the Braisa that says, Ma'aseh umet Alexa Balud, v'nichnesu ko Yisrael l'sovdo? There was this important guy, I don't know anything about him, maybe Barnea met him, and he died in Lod, and everybody wanted to say a big hesped, and they all came in to say this hesped, and Rabbi Tarfon said, no, you're not allowed to do a hesped, it's yontiv. Yom Tov Shalat Seret. I mean, it's insane. You're telling me everybody got together on Yom Tov to say a Hesped? Come on. A Yom Tov Salgat Aitach? In the Yom Tov Mika Azarstein? Who would come in on a Yom Tov for a Hesped? Ella Ema, what Rabbi Tarfon said is that since it's the Yom Tovoach, and therefore it's considered to be a day of Kedusha, therefore, you're not allowed to say a hesped. So, in other words, he was Badavka saying that the Yom Tavoach is usher. So, and I thought we said in the Mishnah, Beferish, that the whole idea is that they Badavka, even though normally we wouldn't have allowed it, but we allow it specifically because we want people to know that the Baitusim are wrong about Mimochorat HaShabbat. So, well, I understand, what's the problem? I mean, in the Braisa we're talking about, Yom Tavoach Achra Shabbos. There we had the problem of course, but Kan be Yom Tov Shechal Liot B'Shabbat. If it's Achra Shabbos, fine. So then there's no problem of having a Yom Tavoach at any other day, as long as Yom Tov wasn't on Shabbos and it's Yom Rishon. He didn't say anything about we're talking about in the Mishnah Dafka, remember, on Yom Rishon because of the Mochrat HaShabbos problem. In the Braisa, we're talking about after Shabbos, sometime during the week, I don't know, whenever. So therefore, it was not a problem to Aser, and therefore he said, in fact, that it's Aser. It would be Aser. But why exactly would it be Aser? In other words, what was Rabbi Tarfon basically saying? Is he saying that all of the days of the Tashlumin are considered to be usher? Is he saying that it's usher because there's a specific day of Yom Tovoach? Why would there be a specific day of Yom Tovoach if it didn't fall out on Shabbos? I mean, if it fell out on Shabbos, I understand that's because we needed to be koveh at the time, even our Libra de Beis Hillel, right? But why would we call a normal day, if it's just Shavuos came out sometime during the week, why would they call it a Yom Tovoach, right? So the Tosfos Rid says the reason why it's called Yom Tovoach is because, look, I mean, you often have a problem where you only have one day on Shavuos. You can't get everybody in. And many people are not going to come when they can't get their karbonis brought. And because of that, what we wanted to do is have an extra day for people to travel, or they came to Yerushalayim, they have an extra day after the day that they was there, where they weren't able to bring their karbonis because everybody only had one day. So we give an extra day, and we call that special extra day the Yom Tovoach. That's not a contradiction to the idea of Tashlumin, but it's a special halacha. So even though people would be able to bring their Tashlumin at any time, but, I mean, people are trying to get home. They're not interested in waiting around for a week in Yerushalayim. So Lamaisa, it ended up that everybody was koveh, that they're going to bring it right the next day, right? Now, the problem was that, of course, we're not talking about the Zman HaBeis HaMikdash because Rabbi Tarfon was after the Churban. So apparently, that kvias of Yom Tovoach was kept even after the Churban, at least Aliba Rabbi Tarfon. Therefore, he said it had a certain kedusha. But remember, as we discussed yesterday, that would mean that this is a halacha specifically about the Yom Tovoach and not about the other days of Shavuos. So that would mean that the only reason is because it's called a Yom Tovoach. Why didn't you say Stamets Tashlumi? So that would mean that apparently Hesped is mutter on the other days. Now, we don't say Tachanun. When I say we, I mean, I know the Ashkenazim don't, I know the Chalabim don't, I don't know what the meaning of the Temanim is, or many of the other Eidot, I don't know. But Mi'ikar HaDin, basically, as we see, and we talked about yesterday, the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, the halacha is that there is no Isser on the Yimei Tashlumim of saying Tachanun or giving Espedim. And this is a special din. As a matter of fact, even the Mefarshei Rambam say that it was because of the din of Yisru Chag. But as we spoke about yesterday, Yisru Chag of Shavuos is different than normal Yisru Chag, even because it was the real day of Kabbalah Satera. So there is one of the shitas that is the basis of our minhag. And everybody, as we know, loves to figure out a reason why we shouldn't say Tachanun. So it's not such a pella that we decided to follow the shita of one of the Bali Teisvus. We followed the shita of the Ravia, and we made that the minhag, even though that's not the Ikar Hadin. So that the minhag became any one of those days is considered to be usher. In Saint Tachanun and so on. Okay, we are ready for Sir Richard to introduce something entirely new and exciting that is just showing up on his sonar screen right now. With my introduction of new and exciting, that is the best you could do when something shows up on your sonar screen? What if it was Moby Dick?
It's a morning for you, Chris.
It was a very sound introduction.
I hear. Okay, thank you, Sir Richard. Next time we'll give you advance notice so you can practice a bit. Okay, so what is happening now? What is this next Mishnah about, which basically is the Masechet's big, big issue from here on? It's all about the Inyonim of Milus of Tumah V'Taira. Now, why would that be here? So Rashi says the reason that it's here is because since there's a din of Kol Yisroel Chaverim B'Moyeh B'Regel, and this gives us very special halachas B'Dafka during the Regel about some of these Malays. So because of that, it's mentioned over here. I want to add to Rashi's approach something that is more fundamental. And that is that it says by the Isser Nevela, you will recall, Ubinivlatam lo tigo. So Chazal ask, and Rashi brings this as the Parshas of the Pasuk in Chumash, B'nivlatam lo tigo. There's no iser of touching an avela. Even a kohen is an usser in touching an avela. It's only usser being betame lemate. So what would be the meaning of b'nivlatam lo tigo? So we see from here, say Chazal, again, as Rashi brings in the Parshas of the Pasuk, we see from here that it's a mitzvah on Yisrael to make sure that they're tohar beregel. So b'nivlatam lo tigo means beregel. So then that means that part of the dinim of chagiga have to do with remaining tohar, making sure that you're tohar during the yontav, and that must relate to the idea of you're going to be coming up to the Beis HaMikdash, and you need to be tohar. So because of that, bichlal, we relate to the regal as a zman of tahara. Therefore, the Mishnah now comes to teach those inyonim that are nogea, specifically the added kedusha that is involved at the time of the regal. We're going to be dealing with inyonim of Meiser Sheni. We're coming up to Yerushalayim. We have an opportunity to eat Meiser Sheni. We have an opportunity to eat Shlomim. We're going to be eating Kachim. And we need also to make sure that everybody's Torah from Tumas Meis. So people are going to be around the Mechatas. What's the dinim of the Mechatas? This introduces the concept of Ma'alot. Now, what Ma'alot mean, and this has something to do with the nature of the Yera'eh, Yir'eh, or Rashi's Yir'eh, Yera'eh, is that the concept of Re'iyah, as we've always explained, is a concept of a heightened awareness that is given to you in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we call it Re'iyah. This was what was given on Har Sinai. This is what the Vayechazu et Elohim Vayochlu V'yishtu means. So all of the sugya is related to degrees of awareness. Because of degrees of awareness, Chazal were koveya degrees of tahara. So the greater the need for the madrega that is made on this, for instance, if you're eating as a kohen truma, you have to be more aware than if you're eating just chulin. And suppose you're eating Meiser Sheni as a Yisrael. You need to be more aware. You're going to Yerushalayim to eat Meiser Sheni. So then that is mechayev you a higher degree of awareness. As you get closer, you're in the Beis HaMikdash and you're a Kohen who's going to be eating a Chatas or an Asha, or a Yisrael is going to be eating a Shlomim, which is Basar Kedesh. That requires yet a higher degree of Kedusha. If you're going to be dealing with the Parah Aduma were mechayev you a higher degree of Kedusha, even though the basis of this idea is gufa from the Hitnagdut of the Tzedukim to our concept that the Parah Aduma is basically a lower level of Kedusha, and therefore would require lesser Tahira, and therefore can be done as it by a Tful Yom, but because of that very thing, we are makbid to do it with a greater level of Tyra, as we will see. So that sounds very familiar to the Mishnah that just finished. The Mishnah that just finished is because of the Tzedukim, we give something a higher degree of Kedusha, we give it a lower degree of Kedusha to allow specifically Hesped and Tainus and the Kohen Gadol should be not wearing his Shemoneh Begadim. This, according to Tosfos, or his fancy Yontif clothes, according to Rashi, so these Mishnayos actually are interrelated. So let's talk about what the different dargas are. As I just was Merami, so we have Chulin, we have Meiser Sheni, we have Truma, we have Kodesh, and we have what's called Chatas. Remember, because the Parah Aduma is referred to as a Chatas, because that we focus on its Chatas reference, because that is the basis of the level of Kedusha that we give it, as if it is a Chatas, even though it really is only the Kedusha of Berakabait. So, there are two different issues that are strongly nogea these differences, and that is the different dargas of how it is that we make ourselves tahar. So remember, we have all these tumais derabbanan. The tumais derabbanan even include hands that touch the Sefer Torah. If you touch the Sefer Torah, your hands are going to be batami truma, right? That was a member of the Takanas that we had back in Shabbos. We have the Ochel Ochel Rishon and the Ochel Ochel Sheni, and somebody who's even Nogia in the Sefer because of our concern of putting Truma together. Putting Truma together with the Sefer Torah. The point is not our concern. The point is that there are derabbanans that define things that are metame yadayim. Now, obviously, midiraisa, this is absurd. Either you're tame or you're tahar. You got a part of your body, tame or tahar. But that was the whole idea that we had back in the Yud Gimel, things that we were gozer back in Shabbos. And that's the first darga of Taira, is to take a cup of water and pour it over your hands. The second darga of Taira that we have is a mikveh. So a mikveh is a darga of Taira for your entire body, but there's also a concept of needing a mikveh for yadayim. And then the highest darga of Taira that we have, of course, is actually the paraduma and so on. So let's consider the differences of what the things are that you're going to be oisik in and what level of Taira your hands require. Now, remember, we're talking about a person who's completely tahar. We're talking about a person who went to the mikveh. We're talking about a person who was exposed to the ashes of the paraduma and became tahar from any tumas meis. He's got zero tuma on him. Nonetheless, if his hands are even stam yadayim, and they weren't washed carefully, you still are going to need netilas yadayim. But for what? Well, notlim yadayim lechulin, lemaiser, and letruma. And that's enough. If you do netilas yadayim, you're allowed to eat chulin food, you're allowed to eat maiser sheni food, and you're allowed to eat truma food. But if you have yadayim, and this is even stam yadayim, you need to put your hands in a mikveh, not just pour water over them. Doesn't mean you have to go to the mikveh, but you need to put your hands in the mikveh. So the kodesh mat bilin. If you're going to be touching now the mechatas, then it's more chomer even. And im nitmu yadav, nitma gufo. Now, this is not the same as the other cases. The other cases are not nitma yadav. It's even stam yadayim. Stam yadayim means that you stopped being aware of what your hands are doing. So this is all about levels of awareness. If you were paying no attention to your hands, and now you want to use those hands to eat truma, you need netilas yadayim. If you want to use those hands for sprinkling the mechatas, you also need netilas yadayim. And that's enough, right? But the netilas yadayim is not with a cup. It's a tefilas yadayim, both for kodesh and for chatas. But this higher darga lechatas that we're talking about is if your hands actually, you know, they're not stam yadayim, they actually touched the Sefer Torah. Touch the Sefer Torah. Now you want to go handle mechatas? You need to go to the mikveh your entire body. So im nitmu yadav, nitmu gufa. And there's no din of tefilas yadayim, there's a din only of tefilah in the mikveh. So this gives us three different dargas that we're talking about. Netilas yadayim, tefilas yadayim, tefilas haguf, depending on which of the madregas of chulin, maaser sheni, truma, Kadesh or Chatas. We have five dargas to which we apply three different dargas of Tahira. Now, there's another issue that are nogea these different dargas. And this is one of the big halachas that people, you know, talk about as if it's some type of social snobbery with the Purushim and the Chaverim and the Amei Haaretz, and it's always looked at as social snobbery, which, of course, is the way the Amei Haaretz always define things that the rabbis do. But in reality, as the Mishnah goes out of its way to show, has to do with levels of consciousness. It has nothing to do with social snobbery. And therefore, our assumption is that what the person is being osik in is the level of awareness that is most appropriate, that his mind is on. And therefore, if a person is osik only in chulin, when he suddenly is faced with eating truma, he has to assume that the level of consciousness for chulin was not sufficiently aware to make certain the way it would have been if he was being osek and eating truma. And therefore, we have to assume that instantly he is considered to be tameh when it comes to approaching truma. The same thing is true if he's a kohen who's been eating truma and now suddenly finds himself coming to the Beis HaMikdash and now dealing with kodesh. So he's going to say, well, I've been very careful with my hands because I'm always touching truma. Yeah, but that is a lower level of consciousness. Don't you think that if you were going to be eating kodesh, you would have been far more alert? Therefore, we have to assume your level of alertness when it comes to kodesh is zero. And therefore, you are considered to be tameh. So your yadayim are tameh. We'll talk about worse than that in a moment. It's much worse than your yadayim. And then, if you're now coming to deal with the Parah Aduma, don't you think that if you were going to be dealing with the Parah Aduma, that you would have been on a super high level of alert? Yes. So then you're considered to be tameh when it comes to the chatas, the paras chatas, the Parah Aduma. Now, one of the big problems is if you are on a lower level of alertness. So let's say you are a person who normally couldn't care less about whether things are tahar or tameh, because you're only eating chulin and you're allowed to eat chulin betuma. So, I mean, obviously you're very careful about tuma v'taira, and you're going to make sure that you know your things are tahar. Please, please, Daniel, mute. Please. Okay. So now you're going to be very careful about other things. I mean, obviously, you don't want to be metame the things in your house so that they're going to be metame truma if somebody comes in and so on and so forth. I mean, you know, so yeah, that's all very true. But how alert are you? Suppose your wife is Anita and she sits down on the handkerchief that you're using. And now that handkerchief becomes Tamei Midras. God help us. Tamei Midras, Betamei Adam, Betamei Kalim. It's like the highest level of Tuma. You didn't even notice. Why would you notice? Mashenkin, if you were eating Truma, you would be far more alert to that type of thing. And so on and so forth. Up the ladder, up the scale of awareness. So now, all of these people hiding behind their names, I don't know what their level of awareness is, but I have a lot of chashad that they're hiding behind their names because they're half asleep and their eyes are closed. So I would say that the din of begodim, of those who are hiding behind a name, is probably midras for people who actually have their picture on the screen. Probably with good reason, I feel that. So we're getting some open eyes, but some recently washed hair on the screen at the same time. So I have justifiable feelings over here. Okay, so this means, astonishingly, that somebody who is makbid on eating their chulin b'taira, who therefore have a higher degree of awareness than people who are not makbid, the moment that he comes in touch with the clothing even of an Ama Aretz, he is tameh, because he was exposed to tumas midras, and all of his truma is going to be usher to eat. And this goes up the ladder. So he's going to become tameh from the midras of an Ama Aretz. And this person who is careful to eat all of his chulin b'taira, he's going to be tameh when he comes to visit a kohen's house, who's going to keep his distance because it's begotten. Everything that he has is tameh. And then that kohen, nobody's going to go near him when he comes into the Beis HaMikdash because he's tameh, because he's only used to eating truma. And somebody who's eating all of his things, but Tyrus HaKadosh, all year round, is going to be considered, don't get near, please stay away. There's somebody who is being Isaac in the Chatas, all right? So therefore, there's other inyanim that have to do with your level of awareness, and not only the question of whether you are tameh, but what the din of your taira is, what defines your din of taira. So let's imagine a guy goes to the mikveh and he wants to have a Shabbos suda, which is chulin. He goes to the mikveh in order to be tahor for Shabbos. He doesn't want to eat anything tameh. Now, is he allowed to eat maaser sheni? No. What? But he went to the mikveh. He just came out of the mikveh. I understand. but he didn't go into the mikveh for the purposes of eating Maaser Sheni. He went into the mikveh thinking that he was going to be eating chulin. So as far as Maaser Sheni is concerned, that ain't no mikveh. What do you mean? It went to the mikveh. Don't you think with a higher degree of alertness, you would have noticed maybe different levels of chatzitza on yourself? You would have been more makpid on making sure about the size of the mikveh, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anything that alertness would make a difference for, the level of consciousness that you're at, which is defined by the level of your intent, is fundamentally important. Therefore, you went to the mikveh and you were tava l'chulin, and you were huchzak l'chulin. Huchzak means you wanted to be in a cheskas taira. So you had kavana. You didn't just fall into the swimming pool. You went in order to be huchzak, to be tar. Doesn't matter. You're still usher to eat Maaser Sheni. And if you went to the mikveh with the specific purposes of eating Maaser Sheni and you were huchzak l'maaser, you still can't eat truma, because that's not considered to be a human activity when it comes to truma. You're not aware. What do you mean I'm not aware? I had every intent of going. I understand, but on the level of truma, you were basically considered to be asleep. And how about if you were tova l'truma v'huchzak l'truma? You're still considered to be asur l'kadesh. If you were tova even l'kadesh, and you're huchzak l'kadesh, you still are asur l'chatas. If you had the higher degree of awareness in Ritovok to the more chomer thing, then of course you're mutter for the less chomer thing. But if you went to the mikveh without an intention specifically to be tahar, then it's ki'ilu lo taval. It made no difference, because remember, what is the name of Seder Taharas, gentlemen? V'hoya munasitecha chorsen Yeshua es chochmas v'da'at. Da'at is Taharas. And therefore, the level of consciousness is fundamental to the questions of Tumah v'Taira. This is the source of all of these malos d'rabbanan, to make the subtle distinctions between the level of awareness and what is required to be tahor on that level. That's the second group of things. Now there's a third group, and this has to do with the third thing that we mentioned. Big day ama oretz midras leprushim. Even the clothing of the Am Haaretz is also included in this, because how do we know that his wife didn't sit on the things that he's wearing when she did the laundry? Big day prushim. Prushim are people who will eat chulin b'taira, because they were makabu on themselves to eat chulin b'taira. So if it's tumas midras, then it's mitame adam, and it's mitame kelim, and it's a tuma very chomur, and therefore, it's going to be metame the porush. Big day prushim, who's being very careful, doesn't matter. For people that are eating truma, kohanim that are eating truma, they are considered, their clothing is considered to be metame mamish, everything, even in adam v'kelim. And those same kohanim that are eating truma, their clothing is considered to be tame midras for people who are actually eating kadesh. And people that are eating kadesh, their begadim are considered to be midras for somebody who's going to be Isaac in the mechatas. Look, you want to talk about snobbery, prushim and amaretz? Let me tell you something. Yosef ben Yoezer haya chasid shebekuna. Yosef ben Yoezer, for God's sake, was the nasi. So that means he's the most chashuva person in the country, right? And he was extremely makbid. He was the biggest chassid, the kuna, the highest degree of awareness, eating everything and always ready to eat truma his entire life. And his handkerchief was considered to be tame midras for a kohen who was eating kodesh. Is this snobbery? You take the handkerchief of the nasi and you say, stay away, stay away. You're tame. It's unbelievable. Why is it specifically handkerchief? I always told you the story of my chavrusa in Mir 60 years ago. The guy was so poor that whenever he would sit down on the bench in Mir, he would take out a handkerchief and put it on the bench and then sit down on the handkerchief. And I, as a stupid American kid, asked him, what do you do that for? He says, because my pants last longer if I sit on a handkerchief. I don't need to buy new pants. So that means that handkerchiefs, I told you the way he used to smoke. This guy smoked. Everybody smoked. But he couldn't afford cigarettes. So he would take the most horrible cigarette. It was called El Al. It was shaped like an oval. And, I mean, it stunk. You can't imagine what these cigarettes smelled like. He would light it. He would take one puff of it and put it out. And then an hour later would take another puff. You can imagine what it tasted like. Would take another puff. That way he would have a cigarette a day and he could smoke all day. Amazing. Anyway, yes, that was the level of poverty and riches at the time. So, yeah, so Amit Pachat, therefore, is Midras. Yochanan ben Gugida, he used to eat Altairus HaKedesh, right? Yosef ben Yoezer Mela, he ate only Altairus Truma. But Yochanan ben Gugida, he ate his entire life Altairus HaKedesh. But if he got near to someone who was going to be dealing with the chatas, Aitamit Pachto Midras Lachatas. Nonetheless, it would be, don't touch me. Okay, so then if that's the case, you see that we're talking about things that have nothing to do with how careful you are, certainly nothing to do with social status. It has everything to do with the way that Chazal defined levels of awareness. Okay, says the but the first thing that the Mishnah said makes no sense. It says, notun le'adayim l'chulin v'lamayser. I never heard of such a thing. You're telling me that before I eat a candy bar, I have to wash my hands. For netil sedayim. She's saying, notun le'adayim l'chulin v'lamayser. What does that mean? I'm not allowed to touch a candy bar unless I do, unless I wash my hands. I don't quite understand what's going on over here. Doesn't the Mishnah Bikurim say beferish? Atruma v'abikurim if a czar eats them. Chayav aleihem misa. And he has to pay an extra chomesh if he ate the bishogeg. And they're obviously osur lezorim. That's all, obviously the osur lezorim if we say chaymisa. It says osur lezorim only because the next case is in the Mishnah wants to say mutter lezorim. Fine. But they're osur lezorim and they are the private property of the Kohen. And he is allowed to do whatever he wants with this money. He can go ahead and use it for Kedusha and Isha. And Bashenkin, when you're talking about other monies, as we'll see, like Meiser Sheni, you're not allowed to be Motzi Meiser Sheni for anything you want. It has to be for things that are Oichlin. Okay, so here these are Nichsei Kohen. If they get mixed up with Chulin, then we know the shear is 1 to 100. In order to be Mavato them, that's the shear of Dimua. Bikurim is also called Truma. It's also called Reishis. And because of that, it is the same as Truma for all of these dinim. And here's what's important to us. Uta unim netilas yadayim. You must wash your hands. Okay, so you must wash your hands. You can't touch them. Why is that? Because yadayim, even stam yadayim, have a din derabanan as being a sheni. And a sheni can be make Truma posel as a shlishi. So because of that, you have to be careful. And if you were actually Tameh and you went to the mikveh, you have to wait until the hour of Shemesh, the end of the day. This is true about Truma Bikuri, but not by Meiser, and certainly not when it comes to Chulin, where over there it's not Osir Lazar, doesn't require Netilas Yadayim, does not require Har of Shemesh. You're allowed to eat Meiser the moment you get out of the mikveh, even though the sun has not set. The Beferish, a contradiction to our Mishnah that says you need Netilas Yadayim for Truma, for Chulin and for Meiser. Kasha Meiser, a Meiser, and certainly Kasha, Chulin, a Chulin. So Meiser, I can answer, because I know that there's a Machlokas, and therefore I could always say that this Mishnah is going Aliba to Rabbi Meir, and that Mishnah is going according to the Rabbanan. Where do we see that there's a Machlokas? Because Gufa in the Mishnah, in Para, it says, Kola Ta'un Biat Mayimi Divrei Sofrim. Anything which is mechayev you to go to the mikveh only midrabanan, meaning that it's a sheni letuma. So this includes the cases that we had ochel ochel rishon or sheni and so on. That is metameh as hakodesh. That mamish makes true kodesh tameh. And if you touch it, and if you touch truma, it passels truma. Remember the difference between passeling and metame. Metame means that there is detectable tuma in it that will now leak out on our tuma Geiger counter. And therefore, what that means is that it can be metame other things. That's called tome. Posel means it will not register on a Geiger counter because obviously it's not emanating anything. It's not radiating tuma. And therefore, it cannot be metame anything else. But that doesn't mean that it itself has not been affected by the tuma. And it has become posel by being exposed to tuma. The truma can't make anything else tome. But the kodesh that touches a sheni becomes a shlishi, and it can make kodesh a revi. Truma that becomes a shlishi is not really tume. It's posel's a shlishi. It cannot radiate the tuma further. And it's even mutter lechatchila when it comes to chulin and meiser. So says Rabbi Meir. The chachomim say, no, it's usr b'meiser, and therefore it's very simple. So our mission that says that you need to wash your hands from meiser is going aliba de Rambanan. And the Mishnah Bikurim is going aliba de Rabbi Meir, who says you don't, right? But how are you going to explain the contradiction of chulin? No, this is, it's not the same. It's no problem. Our Mishnah, we're talking about eating. And when it's talking about a Bikurim, we say you don't need to. That's talking about touching. Excuse me? It says, Maskava Rabshima Barashi, eating. At kan lo pligi Rabbanan aliba de Rabbi Meir, ela ba'achila de Meiser. Excuse me, there never was any discussion about whether you need in terms of just touching. It was all in terms of eating. When we say, Alibet Rabbi Meir, that Meiser Sheni and Chulin do not need Netilas Yadayim, it was only talking about in terms of eating them. Rabbi Meir said, remember, look at the difference. When he was talking about Mitame or Posseling, he used the word tome or posels. Batame is a kodesh and posels truma. So then he should have said, but it does not posel chulin, right? But he says it's mutter. Mutter b'chulin or maizim. Mutter what? What mutter? So obviously mutter is not talking about touching. It's not talking about the impact of touching. It means the person who is tome is mutter to eat chulin and maizim. So when it comes to negia de maizim and achila de chulin, we never had a machlokas b'chol. So don't try to tell me the difference is achila. Of course, what we're talking about is achila. So obviously, both mishnayos are referring to achila. It's still no problem. In our mishnah, we're talking about eating bread. Eating bread, you need netilas yadayim for chulin. Why do you need netilas yadayim for chulin? That's a takana de rabbanan, because we did that for the purpose of making people at least aware of the idea of netilas yadayim, and that way kohanim will be used to washing their hands, and because of that, it can expand in terms of their achila of a truma. And since most truma is truma's dagan, so because of that, we made the takana in terms of the kviyas of achila's dagan. And therefore, the idea of Netilas Yadayim will be remembered by Klal Yisrael and by the Kayanim as necessary. And Khan, in the Mishnah Bikurim, we're talking about eating other things. We're talking about Paris, right? And as Reb Nachman says, anybody who washes his hands before eating an apple is a stuck-up no-goodnik. He's Megasei HaRuach. Because there's no din that was ever mitukan, and there's no chumra bichlal of washing your hands before eating peras. Of course, this has nothing to do with the question of eating wet peras, where over there the Gros says you're mechuyev even to make a brocha al netilas yadayim, but that's a completely different din. It's not part of this takana. It's part of being actually being metame, because if it's wet, remember mashkin or chazer liyos tchila, and then you will actually be metame things. Okay, but not our issue now. Now, the question is, do you need to have kavona? Because we talked about ruchsek. So, turn around, Bon. The brisis is like this. Somebody did netilas yadayim. If he had kavona, his hands are tar. If he didn't have kavona, his hands are tame. And even if he's matpil yadayim in a mikveh, if he had kavona, yodav tahiris. If he didn't have kavona, his yodav are tameos. By the way, you should just know that the Ma'aril writes that if you have an option, you're standing in front of the yam or a mikvah or whatever the case may be. You have a place in which you can be tevel yadayim, and you have a kli with you that you could be neutral yadayim. Which one should you do? He says it's always a mila to utilize the higher degree of tyra. Therefore, you should be tevel yadayim. And not be neutral your yadayim. Because of that, we run into some problems, however, now, because a big machlokas, whether you're supposed to say al natilat yadayim, if you're tevil yadayim, or al tvilat yadayim, or al rechitzat yadayim. Anyways, that gets you to stuff about the broker. So already, you know, things are not so posh. But anyway, so ask the Gemara, but a brisa says, if you did natilat yadayim, it doesn't matter whether you had kavon or not. Beinit kavein, beinit kavein, yadav torot, omrev nachman lo kasha. Kan lechulin and kan lemaser. So where you're talking about chulin, chulin does not require kavana, whereas maser sheni does require kavana, and certainly truma, and certainly kadesh, and certainly chatas requires kavana. Now we're going to discuss tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, the idea of always doesn't require kavana. That we'll see what our raya is to that. All right, everybody, and all you guys, cowards, hiding behind your names, I wish you a wonderful day. I shall continue to miss you as I miss you during the daf, but I'll miss you even more because I won't even see the names. But hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, continue tomorrow, and we're well on our way in this incredible sugya of Tuma V'Taira Beregel, as we'll see, it ends up being very nogea the regel as well. Kol Tuv, everyone. Have a day of hope, and we should be zocha to good things of being as the world is convulsing. It's always a special time for Klal Yisrael whenever things are convulsed. Hoshia samecha uvareches nachal asecha re'im v'naseim ad olam. Kol Tuv.